returning to Paul in Romans 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What's the point then of a million worshipers in the flesh praying to God, if this happens to be true? They that are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, flesh is a denial of the allness of spirit. And the spirit being all, if this be the truth, then flesh has no existence. What's the point of continuing to be the 99 in every 100 when you've got to be the 1 in the 100 who knows that flesh has no existence in God? And therefore, atoms which comprise flesh have no existence. If we were speaking today, he might have phrased it, so them that are in the body of atoms, which appears as flesh, cannot please God. And then the great revelation, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit in of God dwell in you. If you abide in the conscious knowledge that you're not made of atoms, not of flesh, but of the Spirit, only then are you in a position to be quickened out of the false sense of mortality. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, if you have accepted that you are not made of atoms, but are the Spirit, the Christ, then there is no sin in the body anymore. The body is dead because of sin means that no longer is the body subject to the evils of the world. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, this is how we come into receiving the allness of God, to be joined heirs in Christ. When we cast out what we are not, that which we are is revealed to us. There's a place in Matthew which brings this out very beautifully, and I want to go over that for a moment. It's in chapter 17, Matthew 17, 24 to 27. This is really a statement about the nature of grace. And I expect to find it any minute. When they had come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." And Jesus replied, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh out. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and thee." Now, in this little series of verses, we are shown that there is a way of life called grace to those who do not dwell in the belief of a universe made of atoms or matter. And so we want to look at this. They that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Does not your master pay tribute?" And he said, "Yes." But Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou? Of whom do the kings of earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers?" Now this was a head tax. That was the tribute. And all it means is that as a human being, you have to pay a head tax. In other words, this tribute, this head tax, is your karma. Every person dwelling in the flesh is in karma. There are no exceptions. And the kings of the earth take tribute. In other words, material law makes you pay a price. The belief in atoms is the same as material law. The belief in the existence of matter or atoms makes you pay a head tax. And the tax is your own head, actually. That's what you pay. Atoms keep us dying. But there's a way out. Of whom do the kings of earth take tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter says, of strangers. And that means it takes, there is karma for strangers only. Only the head tax is paid by strangers, meaning strange to spirit. Those who have not been awakened to spirit are called strangers. And those who have been awakened to spirit are children. They do not pay a head tax. And that head tax is your physical self. You have to sacrifice it. You think it's yours, but you find it's only borrowed. To step out of karma, we must be awakened to our spiritual self. And we cannot be awakened to it while we still cling to the belief in a self that is not spirit. The transformation is only in consciousness. And then as you make the decision that I am the spirit, not matter composed of atoms, that there is no matter composed of atoms, there are no atoms to compose matter, then you don't pay the head tax, because the Master now says, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea. And the sea now is not the human mind. The sea is the soul. Go to your soul, which is not in matter, which does not receive of the world mind, which is not subject to the illusion of atoms, of flesh, of matter, of form, of condition, of material law. Your soul knows nothing of karma. Your soul pays no head tax. Go to the sea. Cast an hook. And that hook is your acceptance of identity. The hook you cast is who you are. If your hook is material self, you're going to catch material fish. If your hook is spiritual self, this is what happens. Take up the fish that first cometh. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. The tax is paid for you. Your karma is confiscated. There is no karma in the spiritual identity which accepts no atom. This is what it's all about. And so at every opportunity, the teaching comes to us with different words, different analogies, different parables, always telling us that he hangeth the earth on nothing. This world is made of atoms that have no existence. Now, after you've gotten to the place where, through the meditations on There Are No Atoms, you should have a certain flexibility to be able to go into more creative meditations. You should be able to spend some time, and I'd like to request that you consider doing it again this week, in which you transform your environment. In this meditation, you dwell in the knowledge that just as there is no atom or group of atoms to make a box, there are no group of atoms to make a room. And so there is really no box in God. I'm looking at a group of atomic ideas, and I'm looking from the atoms of my senses. And the atoms of my senses are reacting to the atoms in the cosmic mind, because my senses are in the cosmic mind. I'm just a state of atomic reaction. And that's what causes the appearance of the box. The atoms of my senses reacting to the atoms which are patterned in the mind of the cosmos collide. And the collision of my sense atoms with the pattern atoms in the mind of the universe, running at different speeds, different ratios, produce different forms. It's the difference in the speed, intensity, ratio of the atoms of your senses that produce the forms that you see. The only place these forms exist is in the cosmic mind. And you see them because your mind is in the cosmic mind. Your senses are in the cosmic mind. But the kingdom of God is not in the cosmic mind. That's why Christ raises the blind man to vision, the deaf man to hearing. That's why Christ can say to the leper, "Thou art cleansed." Because only the veil of atoms had made a leper and a blind man and a deaf man. Your senses are made of this supposed material called atoms. And therefore, the only thing they can know is a light material called atoms. That's the level of the fourth world. That's the level of mankind. It's the level of Adam and atom. The atom man is in the level of the atom. But the spirit man is in no level. So now start to transform your environment in your meditations. Suppose, for example, we had a string of pearls and we put it in the box. If the box isn't there, how can it hold a string of pearls? If the room isn't here, how can it hold a group of persons? You've got to have a room before you can have persons. The only way you can have a room is to have atoms. And when the master walked through the wall, he was showing you there's nothing there. We, in the cosmic mind, create the walls around us. We create them by the reaction of our senses to the ideas in the cosmic mind. And these little building blocks of atoms enable us to create these mirages. When the master walks through the wall, he's showing you that there's nothing there. It isn't composed of atoms like science thinks. And what's walking through is not an atomic body. And so you must sit in the quiet of your room, and you must spend time transforming your environment until you can remove the chair you sit on, the walls around you, the ceiling and the floor, and the body you think is sitting on a chair. And this is all done in consciousness. It becomes a very beautiful exercise in which you finally feel the nothingness of form, the nothingness of flesh, the nothingness of the atoms, and the allness of spirit becomes alive and vibrant, and it's all you. Where the wall seems to be, I am. Where the chair seems to be, I am. Where the flesh seems to be, I am. And who am I? Who is that I am? That is the infinite Spirit of God. That I am, I am. I cannot be that I am and be this which sits within walls. You're taking yourself into the sea, into the unconfined soul region, which is not bound in flesh, and you're resting in the soul. You're letting the false veil of the senses fade away. This exercise of transforming your environment is as important as knowing there are no atoms there. And again, at first you're swimming against the tide because it's so strange, so seemingly unnatural. But finally there's a breakthrough. You begin to become conscious of another universe. A universe where there is no disease, where there are no problems, where there are no physical forms but forms of light. A universe where death spans and life spans are unknown. There's no interlude between lifespans because there are no lifespans in this other universe. There are no avalanches and floods and fires. And for you it becomes a real universe. And there are signs. That becomes your Damascus. That becomes the way that Christ makes itself known to you. And there's still another exercise. It's only for the one in a thousand. It's not for the rest. Maybe this is that class in which everyone is the one in a thousand. You take your right hand, and this is in your meditation. Jesus said, "Let me wash your feet, Peter." Now you can see that he was saying to Peter, this foot is not made of atoms. This foot is not made of flesh. This foot is a spiritual idea made manifest. That's all it is an idea. It isn't you, Peter. It's the level of your consciousness which has produced what appears to be a foot. And your body, Peter, is the level of your consciousness made visible. The body is not you, it is the externalized image of your consciousness. It's a signpost along the way telling you where you are in consciousness. And so let's take our hand the same way. As a human being, we think this is my hand. Not in this exercise. This exercise is a mystical exercise. And this exercise is that this is not my hand. This is not my hand. And that's the subject of the exercise. Seems to be. I always thought it was. But in this exercise, I want to see that I am mistaken. The reason this is not my hand is because I do not own this hand and I have no jurisdiction over it. I used to think I had jurisdiction over it, but I discover that my hand is a robot. I have absolutely no jurisdiction over this hand. The minute I decide I want to keep this hand, I discover that I have no jurisdiction. It's just borrowed. I can't keep it. How can I call it mine if I can't keep it? I have it for a length of time, and there is no time. I have a mess of atoms that do not exist, and I call it my right hand. And in this exercise, I want to see this is not my right hand. Christ has no right hand. Christ has no left hand. Christ has no heart. Christ has no human brain. I do not have a right hand, or else I am denying my Christhood. That's a difficult exercise. But again, the right hand, or the left, or whatever organ you were to use as an example in this, is the same as the foot that Peter had to have washed. He wanted the rest of him washed, but the Master said, the foot is a good enough example, Peter. If that's washed, the rest of you is washed. Because the foot represented what our hand represents to us now. The belief in spirit or atoms. Which do you believe? Science says your arm is made of atoms. Christ says you are spirit, that there are no atoms there. Do you have a right arm? If you have a right arm, you are disagreeing with all of Scripture. You are disagreeing with the Master's instructions to know no man after the flesh. And you are still disagreeing with Paul's statement, to be carnally minded is death. And so once more, we come to a very difficult exercise. I have no right arm and no left arm. And I cannot know this with my mind. It is impossible for my mind to know this for the simple reason that my mind is a co-creator of the illusion of that right arm. Then what is there if a right arm isn't? God is there. And God is not a right arm. And where the left arm is, God is there. Everywhere, God is there. Spirit is there. And where spirit is, not only your right arm and your left and your toes and your body and everybody's body in the world is also there invisibly. Wherever spirit is, infinity is. And everything you can see in this entire world, all collapsed into one little point, is right there in spirit. In fullness. You are seeing a panorama in a very fractional form, to be sure, of the fullness that is at every point in spirit, everywhere. The whole world is fanned out to show you the fullness that is at every single point, because everything you can see in this entire world and more is at every single point of the world in the infinity of spirit, not just a right arm or a left. Infinity is everywhere now. And this, again, cannot come to you mentally. It has to come in the silence of the mind, in the sea or soul. And then you will discover you have found one of the great secrets of the Bible. That we're not in the atomic age at all. The atomic age never was. The Bible is now ready to lift us out of the belief in the atom. It has ever been here for that purpose. Before you ask, I shall answer. And the answer was the Bible, which is going to take us out of the atom. We had to first discover the atom to be taken out of it. That has been the contribution of science, but it has not yet discovered what it contributed. We call it now the middle path because it is between all of the known beliefs in the world. You go right through the middle of everything everyone believes, and you walk in the invisible spiritual body. You do not walk in the physical environment made of atoms or the physical body made of atoms. You have learned to transform your environment, to transform your belief of selfhood. You're lighting the flame of self. You're knowing spirit aright. you're finding that life eternal which is not in a human form. And you cannot find it if you insist on dwelling in the belief that you're living in one in a world made of atoms. Now, today we've had four exercises. And if you even practice one, you'll do well. One with a box. To see that the atoms of your senses are creating that box out of mind patterns flowing through the universe. And you're using invisible atoms that aren't there to create the illusion of a box. When you touch that box with your fingers, the atoms of your fingers are reacting to the atoms of the box. And the atoms of your fingers aren't there. And the atoms of the box aren't there. Two substances that aren't there are reacting each to the illusion, creating the feeling of texture. If you hear that box fall, the atoms of your ears are reacting to the atoms of that box. Again, atoms are creating the illusion through a reaction. And then if you put something in the box, you're putting it in nothing. You're putting an illusion in an illusion. Now that's why we're out of metaphysics at this point into mysticism. Anything that denies the allness and the indivisibility and the perfection of the one spirit is not here. Atoms are divisible. They can be smashed. Atoms are divided. Atoms are a lot of empty space. And when you hear science describe atoms as electrical energy, you're hearing about the illusion of electrical energy. The only thing electrical energy can kill is another illusion. It's up to you not to be that other illusion. The only thing a germ can kill is another illusion, like itself. It's up to you not to be that other illusion. It's up to each of us to be that one in a thousand, or necessarily one in a million. Because the purpose of this class has been to gather together from all over the area those who are going to be doing real world work. And the world work you're going to do is simply to look out from your spiritual consciousness, knowing that there are no atoms out there. That's the sum total of your world work. There are no atoms out there. And so nothing can be formed of them, and rest in that knowledge. When you start doing your world work from that simplicity and that depth, you will be surprised to discover the new depth in you. There are no atoms out there. And because atoms are that which builds this world, all of the so-called evil conditions of the world are not out there. I don't have to do anything about them. I have to live in the knowledge that atoms are not out there. And if you have the realization here that atoms are not there, you'll understand some of the great healing works in the Bible. At this moment, you may not know it, but you will discover someday that you have just been given a great power. When you can come to the real understanding that there are no atoms out there, you'll understand that spiritual power is within yourself. You will find grace is flowing. You will find people telling you wonderful things are happening because they have entered your consciousness. First one, then, is to work with the box until you can understand why it and its dimensions are not there. The second is to know atoms are not out there. The third is to know that because atoms are not out there, your environment is not out there, and so transform your environment in consciousness. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour if you can. These are some types of meditation on this subject. And finally, take any organ of your body and recognize that it is symbolic of the whole body, and know that it is not there, because the atoms that are to comprise that organ are not there. You see, if you have accepted atoms are not there, you've got to accept that your hand is not there. So these are four exercises, and really you could spend the next 3 months with them. But you can take one, and you'll find it better to take one and dwell with that one again and again and again until it makes an impression on you. Then the other three will open up, and pretty soon you'll discover that you're walking with the disciples real well. You'll find that the gold in the fish's mouth doesn't startle you so much. In fact, you kind of anticipate something like that to happen in your life, because the idea is that grace must flow where there is a spiritual consciousness. And when you have eliminated the belief in atoms, forms, conditions made of atoms, you're pretty close to a spiritual consciousness where grace flows. Then you are spiritually minded, which is knowing God or knowing spirit aright, and that is life eternal. Now this then marks the beginning of the first class of this series. What we're trying to build now might be called the principles of resurrection. What are the principles of the first resurrection which prevents our knowing death? We're trying to develop these through these seven classes so that we come to the golden city. I have a degree of confidence that we can come to a place where most of us feel a new kind of liberty, a new kind of freedom. I'd like to reach the place where, at the termination of the classes, we have reached that inner freedom, peace, harmony, and let us call it confidence, that the world holds no fear for me in any way anymore, because it is made of atoms that aren't there. And I can walk through the illusion of the atom, living in what is really there as a self that does not know death. Not carnally minded, but spiritually minded. Not atom minded. This leads to the quickening. The quickening leads to the harvest. Now we have found the tip of the sulfur match that lights the flame, so that all of the truth we have learned begins to blaze. And we must stay with that match until it bursts into flame. The sowing, the renunciation of the atomic belief, takes the underpinnings out of all matter. And then the harvest comes, because when we have cleansed ourselves of all false beliefs in our conscious world, right down into our unconscious world, bringing it up into our conscious, that which happened to Paul happens to us, and we are smitten by the light. It doesn't have to blind you, it doesn't have to knock you out, but it comes. And it comes to each in another way, in another group of circumstances, and it unmistakably tells you that you have found the universe of light, of self, of being. And you are the living Bible itself, living out the experience of self. The flame is lit. The spiritual sowing and the harvest become one and the same. Cause and effect now bring you into the knowledge of ever-present perfection. All that is here, when you eliminate the belief in the atom, is the presence of perfection. And that is the only shield you ever need. The atom is unsafe. The spirit is safe. The atom is imperfect. The spirit is perfect. The atom is lacking and limited. The spirit is perfectly complete. Rephrase, re-identify the world around you as nothing but atoms that aren't there. Those of you who are deep Bible students, you can go through the Bible now and you'll find a whole new Bible. Everywhere you see flesh and matter, that was in the pre-atomic age when they didn't know anything about atoms. It seemed to us they didn't. But we were the ones who were ignorant. They knew all about atoms. They knew there were none. It's taken us 1,800 years to discover that which they already knew didn't exist. Wherever you see matter and flesh in the Bible, they're talking about atoms that don't exist. That's what illumination did through the prophets. And now that we have the atom, you'll find that Bible will shout out at you. The pure at heart know no atoms. Blessed are they that mourn. Nothing died but a concept called atoms. The very soul is still there, always. There will be new things in the Bible that you never saw before coming at you in a new light. Don't throw your Bibles away ever. You'll find that every Bible is going to take a new importance in this world. The Bible is going to be stronger than the bomb. But it must be a real Bible. Not just pages in a book. It must be the Bible of spirit in consciousness. Let's have a final meditation today. Before you came into the belief of being a form made of atoms, before you appeared on this earth in a form made of atoms, you always existed as pure spirit. And you always will. And even now, this second, you are that infinite spirit. The mist that has fallen on the consciousness of man has a purpose. It's strictly the misidentification of it that has caused our lack of direction. We haven't used this mist of atoms for its purpose. Disengage yourself from it and see it only as the image placed for you out there by your consciousness. Then you'll know the nature and quality of your consciousness. Let the mist of atoms be your guide. Simply don't identify it as yourself. but as the image your consciousness is putting out there. And everywhere you look, you're looking at the image that others are putting out there through their consciousness, which they have identified as themselves. Remove that identification. You're not looking at anyone's self anywhere. You're looking at consciousness putting out images. You're looking at invisible consciousness everywhere. And behind each invisible consciousness is the full divine consciousness itself. That's all that's really there. And as you apply directly to that divine consciousness everywhere, rather than to the invisible consciousness and its externalized image called body, you find you're walking in the Golden City, right here. You're in the one divine consciousness, and you are the one divine consciousness. And then be still. The one divine consciousness is doing all it should do. It's running a perfect divine universe. And you're all of it. You're not a fraction of it. You're the divine consciousness behind every form you're looking at. There are no separate pieces of consciousness, no divided consciousnesses. It's all your divine consciousness. Each form you're looking at is another fraction made visible of the one self that you are. You're behind the veil of the atoms. And we're only beginning. We are not accepting the imaged bodies that show forth. We are not carnally minded. We are not enemies of truth, of spirit, of God. We are spiritually minded. And as this deepens, we will find that life, which knows no beginning and no end, is the only life we could ever be. That is where you find the gold in a fish's mouth. The symbol of the signature of Christ in you is the grace that flows through you. That is like a painter signing a canvas. As grace flows through you, that is the signature of Christ. And then that life that you experience in your quiet shows you its perfection. Not a limited human sense of perfection, but an eternal perfection. A whole perfection. A perfection that leaves nothing missing. Now, I can't tell you what text to use for the next lesson because I'm not using one either. These seven lessons will not be with texts. Our text will be the living spirit. And to keep pace with this class, it's necessary for you to take the suggestion of the four different kinds of meditations and develop one very well. You'll do better develop one well than four unwell. Put the other three on the shelf of your mind for some future use to come back to. And if you finally reach the place where you have one, get on with the second. And then appear, wherever you are, not carnally minded, but in the knowledge that where you are is the invisible spirit without atoms, that nowhere that you are atoms present. Let that be your consciousness to the best of your ability. And you will find into that consciousness will flow and then externalize a different kind of living experience in the continuity of your day. It won't be a material consciousness expressing. It won't be an atomic consciousness expressing. It will be a divine consciousness expressing perfection. And before you ask, I shall answer, just as I provided gold in a fish's mouth, so shall I provide all that is necessary in your experience if you will give me that transparent consciousness which has unveiled the atom. If you find the weather is bad, be still and know there are no atoms out there to cause good weather or bad weather. You're looking at a cosmic picture. Just be still in the knowledge there are no atoms. Don't be surprised if good weather appears. If you find any untoward circumstance in your life, be still and know there are no atoms out there. Therefore, there be no material conditions because there are no atoms to make matter, which is a condition. And therefore, the material conditions which you have not accepted because you know there are no atoms out there in your consciousness cannot remain there long. All you've got to do is remain patiently in the quiet, come back to it again and again if necessary, and you'll find a change in those conditions, an adjustment, a substitution, a new thing entering. The divine will always express divine effect and not material effect. And that divine effect in the invisible will show forth as improved material effect. You see, when you take away the atom, you're living in the realm of cause, and you're no longer under the head tax, the karmic law. You're no longer paying tribute to the atom. Well, that's a good start for today. Pleasant journey home, and thank you very much.